This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
The pictures you see are the work of a woman named Bessie McLam. Her husband met her in Pittsburgh. He was there doing a show. He saw her in the audience, made it a point to go home with her and her three brothers, and when he left Pittsburgh, Bessie left with him, a married woman. And when she came to Philadelphia, he had a shop, and people called him High John. And High John, really, there was a real person named High John who was an African prince. They're always princes. And he went back to Africa, and the name High John apparently has stayed. Plus, there are plants and things of that sort that are called High John. And her husband was born in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and he left home early. He was about 15 when he left home, and they say he joined a circus. And he was a very clever person. He was able to make things. He was able to make medicines or whatever. And apparently he had the gift of gab. He must have. And when he went to Pittsburgh to do a show, Bessie went with her three brothers. He went home with them, and she went home with him. And home was back here in Philadelphia. And his shop, he had a shop on another place, but then he bought a place at 1624 South Street. And you all know South Street. And South Street was the southernmost boundary of William Penn's Philadelphia. And it's amazing to me that South Street is still there, and it has all of this history. And I think that Philadelphia is a city with many, many stories. Now, Bessie, when she came, she didn't know anything about cameras or anything of the sort. But the work that you see hanging in this place today is her work. All of these pictures. Now, there are pictures over there that are partly responsible because High John did them. Her husband did them. But he died when... I'm trying to think how old she was. But when he died, he was 44. And he had cancer of the gums. And I just cannot imagine kissing somebody that has cancer of the gums. And I think, how can you live like that? But apparently, people who smoke do. If any of you smoke, think about stopping. And I will go on. But Bessie was a person who was very smart, and she had a way with people. And it was not a clever way. It was just a genuine, warm way. When I spoke to her nephews, wife, because the pictures that I have, I bought from Bessie's nephew. He had decided he wasn't going to sell them. I said, if ever you change your mind, let me know. And he did change his mind, and I'm glad that he did, because he died about 10 years after I bought them. And I looked at this work, and I knew that it was very special. I knew that I would never see pictures like this anyplace else. I found the interesting thing is, when Bessie took over, I looked at her pictures. There's never a background. The pictures are against nothing. And so there you see the people dressed, and these were not casual pictures. They were not people in the neighborhood. So often I see, you know, that statement, and it's not true, because people came to her from wherever they lived, and when you look at them, they came dressed for the camera. The children are dressed, little frilly things, babies, infants. When you look at the men, they're not casual. They have neckties, they have on suits, and you know their shirts are starched. If they have on a hat, it's a hat that's not beat up. It's a good, what do you call it, fedora or whatever, etc. And when you look at the children, the children are healthy, they're sturdy, their hair is combed, they have an identity, and you know that they are loved. When I love the way that the pictures are arranged. And also, I will tell you something else. When I got the pictures, I didn't want to handle them. And I got sleeves for each one, depending upon the size. And you can see it in some of them very easily. And I was glad that we didn't take them out of the sleeves, because it really protects the picture. And I look at the people, and I wish they would answer me when I say, what is your name? And I will say this. If any of you recognize anybody, please identify the person, because it is possible. And the children, I was talking to Eddie's wife, and she told me everybody loved Bessie. And I said, well, I can, you know, see that in her work. The children are, you know, smiling, or sometimes they look tentative, but they're not crying, they're not throwing themselves down on the floor or anything of the sort. And when you look at the adults, they didn't leave home looking like, damn it, I'll bite you. They were dressed, they had ties, they had their good shoes. Everything is wonderful. But realize that these are posed pictures. They came to her. She never went out and took pictures. There are no pictures that Bessie took of people outside. Everything was in her studio, and she washed her prints. None of them have turned color. They're not brown because of inadequate washing. And when I got them, I was just amazed because I had never seen this quality. She used quality paper, too. No shortcuts in her agenda. And I look at the people, and they're just, it's like they give themselves to her. Do you have any comments? Do you want to say anything? Anybody? I know I'm talking. Yes.
It would be great maybe if you could just talk a little bit about your background. And this is not your first exhibition.
Oh, wonderful.
This is not your first exhibition.
Oh,
and,
no.
And certainly
no.
Not your first
kind of
working with photographs. Could you talk a little bit about your background?
You really want to hear that?
Yes.
Well, my father was born in Philadelphia, and even before that, his father was from Delaware. And there were people who were here before the white guys came. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Huh? My father's people were from Eastern Shore, Maryland. And, you know, they were here all along. And, but that's, you know, immaterial now. And I think that when we learn history, you have to take it with a grain of salt. You have to be critical, really, I think, when you talk about that. I grew up in Philadelphia, went to Girls High, went to Temple, and taught in the Philadelphia public schools. And raise your hand. Tell them why you raised your hand.
What school? John Barry.
And there's not anybody else. Oh, raise your hand. She went there too. And, you know, I went to Temple. I never left Philadelphia to go to school. So I went to Temple. And it was at a time when the GIs were back, and it was very exciting. It was, and cheap, $225 were what it cost for this. You know, that was it, and then you had to buy your books, but that was the fee.
For a year or for a semester?
The semester. And, I mean, that is unheard of. You can't even buy a book for $200 now. But I'm rambling. But it's hard to come to a room and, you know, talk about all of these things and all of these memories, et cetera. Yes. No, well, when I was in Temple, My art history professor was Dr. Hermann Gundersheimer, and he was a Jew who was one of the last people allowed to leave Germany. His family had gone, and he was in charge of a museum there that had artifacts from the Jewish culture. And he came and he worked in Washington, but he was my art history professor at Temple. I adored that man. He was wonderful. And it made history very, very real. And I enjoy art history. Now, I taught 10 years in the classroom, but the school district of Philadelphia had a division of museum education. And they had teachers at the Franklin Institute, the Academy of Natural Sciences, the zoo, even Independence Park. And they also had one at the art museum. And I was the first teacher that was there, and I was at the art museum for 20 years and took children, and they could be blind, have all kinds of problems, or absolutely wonderfully healthy and normal. And we talked about things in the gallery, but it had something to do with what they were studying in school. I would have done it for nothing, because it was really right up my alley. And I really, really enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed the children. And I liked my life. But getting back to Bessie. Bessie, as I said, never went out to take pictures. People came to her. And South Street was a very interesting street. I don't know, are you all familiar with South Street? Did you ever go there? I'm talking about real life South Street on when you go down South Street. And this is true whether it was 50 years ago or whatever. When you go down South Street, you find that it changes as you go. You have Jews. You had people that were tailors, shoemakers, musicians, restaurants. All of that stuff on South Street, it was out in the open. You'd hear music. You could smell smells. Now, up near where High John's building was, there was a Virginia store, and you could get molasses, sweet, delicious molasses. On Wednesdays and Fridays, you could get fresh fish. And they also, at certain times, had live chickens. So you could get a live chicken, they take it back and go, and you get a warm chicken to carry home, and you knew it was fresh. And South Street was an interesting street. And High John had a building at 1624. Now, at 1622, Bessie had a building. She bought that building, and she had a rooming house there. That was her little stash. High John died, and he was 44. Do you know why he died? You know why he died. Did you have any idea why he died?
Tobacco.
He smoked. He had cancer of the gums. And you must have to smoke a whole lot of cigarettes to get it in your gums. And he died. His wife was smart. She didn't die. But she was also a good photographer. She was somebody that everybody liked. And she had a business at 1624 South Street. I was in that building, and it was after she died, but it was like turning back the clock. And there were all kinds of things that were for sale. Powders and unguents and filings, you know, that you know, would be attracted to a magnet for whatever reason. I don't know, but it was just absolutely fascinating. And High John had dogs, and if you look, I don't know, I guess if you look over in this area, you will see that the favorite dog was the Fox Terrier. And I didn't know anything about Fox Terriers because I had dogs with hair. I had Cocker Spaniels. But the Fox Terrier, apparently, I called the School of Veterinary Medicine and was told that the Fox Terrier is a dog that can live 20 or more years. It was very teachable. It was smart. And apparently it has a nice disposition. And so when you look at pictures over here, you will see Jasper. And the dog was always named Jasper. So that, you know, and they apparently did not have, and I did see a picture that had two Fox Terriers in it. But for the most part, it was one dog. And the dog performed. The dog would bark. The dog would tell time. And apparently, High John was a person who had a way with animals. And I'm sure he had a way with people too. So people were comfortable in her presence. And when you look at these people, and she took their pictures, they're not smiling because somebody said smile. When you look at children in the pictures, they're perfectly comfortable there. And people were really pleased to be in her presence. Because when I spoke to Eddie's wife, that was the person I bought the, Eddie was the person I bought the photographs from. She said, everybody loved Bessie. And I believe it. You know, I love Bessie. I love her work.